In early January, the legal institute responsible for creating a framework for the death penalty and believing more than 30 years ago that it would create a fair application of capital punishment statutes withdrew its support while not coming out forcefully for repeal. In 1972, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the death penalty was carried out arbitrarily by states and was cruel and unusual punishment and therefore unconstitutional. At that point, the American Law Institute, made up of the nation's most respected lawyers, judges, and legal scholars, developed guidelines to help determine which individuals convicted of murder should face the death penalty. They included consideration of aggravating circumstances such as multiple victims, death of a police officer, and the victim's age. They also considered mitigating circumstances such as the conditions under which the perpetrator was raised, abuse he or she may have suffered, and mental incompetence. The Supreme Court relied heavily on these guidelines in determining whether states could reinstitute their death penalties beginning in 1976. Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhus spoke with Richard Dieter, executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center, about the Law Institute's withdrawal of support for its own capital punishment guidelines and what this could mean for efforts to abolish the death penalty in the United States.
They try to present the legal system with things like the model penal code, ways of arriving at just sentences and criminal procedures that are fair, and they dealt with the death penalty by, at a time when the death penalty had no guidelines and was totally up to the jury, just didn't have any list of things that they had to settle for, they put out this code of how to deal with capital sentencing, and the Supreme Court, in approving the death penalty in 1976, took a state that followed it very closely, and other states have followed suit. So the whole infrastructure, if you will, of the modern death penalty is based on this model penal code. They said, the American Law Institute, what we offered was our best advice. And it hasn't worked. We don't have any other way to make this system be trustworthy and fair. And so we're not only withdrawing the model penal code, we're withdrawing from giving any advice. We don't think there can be a systematic way of deciding who should live and who should die that works out fairly.
So these guidelines weren't mandated by the Supreme Court, but they were pretty much what the Supreme Court said was needed in order for states to reinstitute the death penalty? And some of these guidelines included mitigating and aggravating circumstances, right?
Yeah, so instead of just jury go decide whether this man should live or die, they said, you know, consider this list of mitigating things. Here are some things that ought to be age, mental problems, and consider, more importantly, the aggravating factors. What makes a murder death eligible? What makes it the worst of the worst? States are free to pick their own list, if you will, but they gave a model list of things that might be, you know, particularly heinous, a torturous murder or multiple victims. And so some states might pick, the young age of the victim, but the whole idea of having a list of aggravating factors came from the American Law Institute. And then, you know, how you weigh those against the mitigating factors and whether the jury needs to be unanimous, and all sorts of things were in that model penal code. The significant thing was that you pretty much had to have that kind of list to get the Supreme Court to approve your law.
So the American Law Institute is saying that the death penalty is still arbitrary?
Right. That you know, if you look around who gets the death penalty, you know, there's been now a lot of studies. It's much more likely that you'll get the death penalty, for example, if you've murdered a white person than if you've murdered a black person. Obviously, that's not in their list. It clearly makes a difference whether you're in Texas versus Kansas or most other states. Arbitrary factors have continued to plague the death penalty. Humans will fall back on their emotions and their biases and their arbitrary reasons and politics will enter, and that's the death penalty experience of the past 30 years. So they just opted out of the whole process.
How important is this development to the debate about capital punishment?
This is very important from a legal perspective, in the sense that the Supreme Court, had struck down the death penalty for all federal, states, and the process that, by which they slowly allowed it to come back was an experiment. It wasn't a clear practice that they knew now had been tested and would work. They said, well, we're going to approve this prospectively. And so we've had a 30-year experiment, not just in the eyes of the American Law Institute, but in the eyes of the court. And I think there probably is a growing consensus on the court. I don't know if it's a majority, but a growing number, Justice Stevens being a prime example, where they've just concluded this thing isn't working. And I think there will be a day when the U.S. Supreme Court strikes down the death penalty, and this will be cited as one of the reasons.
That was Richard Dieter of the Death Penalty Information Center. Contact the center at area code 202-289-2275 or visit their website at deathpenaltyinfo.org.